Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3 Pi Squared ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Steven and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3 Pi Squared has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Hello, everyone.
How's it going?
Wonderful.
So today...
Part three.
This is probably going to be part hundreds. We just love doing reaction videos so much. So today is a treat for everyone that's listening. You'll be able to hear it, I guess. But this one may be one that you want to listen to. Or sorry, watch. Because we're going to be doing TikToks. I have not watched any of these.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to be doing TikToks.
No. We're going to be listening to reacting to TikToks about ABA. I think these are all, like, staff.
Okay.
So, we're just going to start and see what happens. You can watch our faces and see what we have to say. It may be nothing, it may be... Awesome. So I'm going to share my screen and then we will we'll get into it. All righty.
Oh, goodness.
So that's the last one, I think. All right. So are you ready?
Hi. So this is the daily life of a 24-year-old RVT located in Charlotte, North Carolina. Part 3. I just got some bad news, you guys. So this is some real stuff that happens as an RBT. I know fellow RBTs feel my pain. One of my clients decided they don't want no more services. So we were able to work out a deal, like, with my BCBA about, like, when are we going to, like, just cut off services. And his renewal was about to come up in March anyway, so it's gonna be March 7th is gonna be my last day with him, and I'm really sad because I love him. Like, it's so sad when you have to end services and, like, there was no reason why or anything. And yeah, that's a downside. like immediately I was sad, but then I also was like, well, how am I gonna make money? Because this client I see for 25 hours and I only work 41 hours a week, so 25 hours, that's a lot of money that's just not, I'm not going to get. But luckily, my BCBA was able to find someone, so I would just transition to that new person once I end services with my morning client, y'all, because it's so hard to find a morning client as an RBT from my experience, because I've been an RBT for a year and a half, and it's like, when you lose your morning client, especially during school time, you want to keep that steady. You do not want to lose that, because it's so hard, because most kids are in school, so it's, and a lot of schools don't allow us in. Unless it's like a private school or something like that. And that's what I'm dealing with today. Like, I was so in distraught.
All right. So that's that one.
Yeah, that stinks. I'm glad that she was able to get a replacement.
Feels good. Yeah.
And I know she said for no reason, and maybe there is no reason, because sometimes that just happens for no reason that we know of, or maybe it wasn't, like, communicated to her.
It's hard to decide.
But yeah, I'm glad she got another morning client, because I feel her pain, like, going 25-hour morning
that's a lot.
Yeah, you're sad.
That's 5 hours a day.
You're sad, because that's a lot of time she's been spending with that kid, so of course she's sad, right? Yeah, yeah. But then also, like, where am I getting my money? How am I getting paid?
That's kind
of a morning client case.
Kind of normal RBT stuff. Yeah. Okay, so the next one.
If you're an RBT or you're trying to be an RBT, listen to this. First of all, good morning. I am on my way to work. Being an RBT is not an easy job. If you already are one, you know. There's days that I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to go. I think it's a field that gets you mentally drained because of all the data and all the behaviors, so you can get burnout easily. But what makes me get up every morning? You guys, we are changing these kids' lives. And we're not only changing these kids' lives, we are changing their parents' lives. So you know that saying, like, I wish I could change the world? You are changing it. By doing this, you are changing so many people's lives, and this is what motivates me to get up. The fact that I know that these kids will one day have a regular life, just like us, drive cars, go to high school, even talk, and be fully independent. For the parents to go out on a social setting, to be able to go to birthday parties and dinners with their kids, it's like, this is what we're here for. So every time that I don't want to go to work, I always remember, like, we are changing the world by doing this. I may not stay in RBT forever, but the little time or the time that I'm going to stay here, I do want to help these kids out. So that's, like, my biggest motivation. When my clients learn something new, like, nothing makes me happier. Nothing makes me happier to see them grow. But I have seen a lot of people work in this field because of a paycheck. But that's another story for another day. What I want to say is that I didn't take this job serious before. And I don't mean it as in, like, I wasn't working with my client or teaching them anything. I mean it as in, like, I will go to sleep at whatever time I wanted. I will wake up at whatever time I wanted. And then I'll just go to work fully exhausted, sometimes mentally drained already from work plus other things. And then I'll just show up and half-ass, you know, my job. There's days that I didn't, but there's days that I did. And I'm honest. To be in RBT or to be in this field, if you know this is mentally draining, you need to take care of yourself first before you take care of others. You guys heard that saying. Well, it's true. If I know that I have to come to work, I am not fooling around at night. I have a bedtime. I'm not going out. I'm not staying up watching TV. I know there's sometimes that I may do it, but it's very rare. I like to wake up and get my morning routine going and have that energy that they deserve to get. These clients deserve 100% of you. So self-care is important for you, because if you're good, then your client is going to be good as well. So take care of yourself and go be a killer RBT. All right. Bye, guys.
Love you. All right. Come on our podcast.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. We, that was good. I mean,
I think that's just a really super important point that she gave is take care of yourself, take your job serious. Like, I don't care, honestly, like, the way I feel is I don't care what job you have. I feel like if you have, like, you're taking care of yourself, that's important. On my private social media, I'm like posting all about taking time, you know, doing things to, for yourself and mental health. And so I think that's super important. But yes, if you're in a helper field, especially RBT position, it's really challenging. It's so important to take care of yourself and to be able to show up and just really for your quality of life. But
yeah, I think the passion, you know, shows up like you are really your. I mean, this job is hard and challenging, but man, it's so it's full of purpose, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I'm glad that she enjoys doing the work. And
I loved her outlook on everything. Yeah. Like, she's not only helping the child, but the family, and they get like really pointing out the positives that everyone.
And this is who we want working for us, right? Is someone that can understand it's challenging, but the meaning and what this means for the families and the kids that they work with. So that's also, so that's like two in a row positive. I'm getting scared. All right, I'm getting scared. Okay. All right, so this is number three. So it's a really short one. So it's when you work as an RBT and the AC breaks, so everyone is miserable except management because the AC works in their office.
Oh, no.
And let's go back. And
everyone was covered in sweat.
Hold on.
I think this is just one we might have to choose.
Everyone is covered in sweat, gagging. The poor kids were crying while the BCBA sat in the AC complaining about the RBTs complaining. We even still ran circle time. Why wouldn't they close the clinic? I want to uplift kids, not oppress them.
Oh, so I know I laughed at the beginning of this.
So you take the kids to the gym so they don't cry from it being so hot.
So I know I laughed at the beginning of this, but it got real as I was going through. And honestly, like, so one of our first things is to take care of physical needs first. And our job is to teach, really. I mean, we're providing services, but majority of our services are we're teaching, right? And if someone is miserable, if they're sick or hot,
okay,
if they're sick or they're hot, like severely hot, like that, you know, then there's not the optimum opportunity for learning. It really isn't. That's a hard one. I know for in-home services for our clients, we would have when we were in the South and it would get hot. Even Virginia, I mean, Virginia is considered the South, but like it would get hot too. Mm-hmm. And we had to cancel sessions if like the inside of a home was above a certain degree, because we need for our, not only to provide a safe work environment for our staff, but you know, like we need optimum learning environment for the kids.
Have sessions when it's 81-ish, I guess.
Inside.
Yeah. All right. So this one, I'm not sure about. We'll see.
I view manhandling a child, physically restricting their movement or blocking them to keep them in an instructional area under the guise of gaining instructional control or teaching them the expectations, as a direct indication of what that interventionist's clinical skill set is. The most obvious being that their clinical values and their skill set is not aligned with a trauma-informed neurodiversity-affirming model. An emphasis and prioritization of compliance over cooperation. And beyond that, it tells me a lot about their lack of understanding of learner motivation and a deeper understanding of the principles of reinforcement. It is a lot more difficult to earn that kid to the table and earn their attention during your activity and your lesson. But that's what we need to be doing. That's where we make long-lasting, more meaningful gains.
I agree to a lot of that. There, of course, like we're just seeing little short snippets. But I do agree that in most situations, we should not be manhandling kids back to the table. There are a lot of strategies that we use to motivate them and to help them come to the table. And is it necessary that they have to come to the table? Are there other ways we can do it? We don't know what age group this is. We don't know what the demands are that's being placed on them. But it definitely, it's worth a conversation.
Yeah, I guess my question would be, like, if you're manhandling kids to anywhere, that's definitely meaningful, right? Like that is going to make a lasting impression. I don't know it's the one that you want to make.
No.
Right?
No.
So,
And there should be a plan in place, too. Right. So, like, if you're tech and you're, like, having to make... I think we read in the first one, we read someone saying they had to drag the two-year-old to the next room or something. But if, you know, if it's, like... the daily manhandling shouldn't be like the norm. There might be a day or two where something like that pops up and then you need to talk to the BCBA. The BCBA needs to help support the tech and you need to come up with a plan on how to handle it, because that's not the plan.
Right.
The plan shouldn't be manhandling the
kid. Correct. Yeah. I agree. With all of my extensive training. All right.
Industry that is developed around autism and autism treatment intervention.
This is my Roman Empire. Before the pandemic, I was working in after school, before school, and during school programs as a para, often with a lot of the autistic kiddos that we had there. Not realizing till later that the reason why I was so good with them is because I'm also autistic. I became an RBT when the pandemic started because my job as a para was just gone in elementary school. And I've worked at a lot of different clinics, and even the good ones, all of them are still so much more focused on growth and having more clinics, more program, more kids. So instead of paying RBTs enough and making sure that the clinics they have are fully staffed, they shift it to the RBTs aren't being reliable for the kids. It's a fucking cash grab. It's a goddamn cash grab. Like, it's...
Knew we were going to get into bad ones.
If your staff is feeling like it's...
A cash grab?
Quantity over quality, then that's...
It's too bad.
That's sad.
Yeah, sad. You know, like we talked in the last one, if you listened to the last one, maybe you haven't or watched it, like RBTs and BCBAs, like I think that is the area. It's not that they don't have enough skills to work with the kids, and maybe they do in some sense, but it's when you know something unethical is taking place, can't continue doing it. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like that is the situation that we see in these go on. They like, there aren't any targets, but I continue going to sessions, right? Like,
well, what if it's like, okay, so they're saying that like people are greedy and they're just wanting more money, so they're going to open more clinics and they're going to, you know, get more clients so they can make more money.
Okay,
that in itself's not unethical. Don't get me wrong. Like, that leads to a lot of unethical behavior most of the time from what I've seen out there. But that in itself is unethical. So my challenge would be, okay, what are they doing that's unethical? Call them out on it. And then, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, what I take from that video is that it's a cash grab, right? That they are just... putting, like, I mean, going,
so they're not like taking care of the current,
right,
the staff,
right,
that they have,
right,
they're just, right, seeing how much more, yes, can I get to up more, the amount that, yes, I'm making,
how many more untrained staff can I put in here, how many more clients can I get in here with inadequate services
versus taking care of who I, yeah, have.
That's what I assume
quality
that this person is saying, right? Yeah. That's what I assume that this person is seeing. Yeah, I agree that just because you open a second clinic or a third clinic doesn't mean you're greedy. It may mean that you're providing great services and you want to continue to grow and provide better services than your competitors. But I think what she is saying in particular is that this company that I work for, or the companies that I have been working for, they just want, you know, one of the Reddits or Twitter or whatever it was from was like, they just want bodies in here, right? Yeah. Like, I assume that's the, yeah, perspective that she has. And so, yeah, I mean, that's difficult. And yet here you have a certification that has an ethics, and that is not the company's responsibility. That is your responsibility. And so I would just push back a little bit. And yes, I get that the company's making you do this, but you have a ethic that you have to follow. And the ethic will only be followed if the individuals doing the direct service on the day-to-day work with the kids follow that ethic. And so I just, yeah.
You're going to create an uprising.
Yeah, uprising. Good. Uprising. Would that be so bad?
No.
Okay.
I'm not saying it would be.
Okay. All right. So.
I'm just getting ick vibes from.
Next one.
Everything. Okay.
Hi, this is a day in the life of a 24-year-old RBT. Today, this is a full day. Y'all never seen one of my full days, I don't think. So, I tried this little pickle thing. I think I didn't let it sit long enough because it just kind of just stained the pickle. Y'all gonna see what I'm talking about. I wasn't really feeling it or whatever. It was just okay. So, I wanted to discuss pay because I seen that a lot in the comments. Okay, y'all. Ain't nobody tell y'all not to ask about nobody pay. Look at my face. I'm just like, okay. But pay as an RBT, I started out before certified, I started 20. And then once I got certified, I got to 22. And I got a couple of raises since then. This is with my first company. And I've been there for a year. So you can kind of do the math. And I'll tell you the truth. On my second company, they started me out with $30. So y'all can do some math on how much I get paid. This is at the center. My client had two therapies. I think he had OT and speech. So, you know, I'm just sitting there through all his therapies, and I get paid while I'm sitting through these therapies, mind you. So that's always nice. And I'm just writing his notes while I wait on him to finish his therapies. And then we had lunch. I made some noodles. And then I went to the gym during my 2-hour break, y'all, because I worked from 9 to 2. And then 4 to 8. Yeah, a 9-hour day. And I'd be tired. I feel like it's time to go. And luckily I had that food because I was out after this.
So I have no idea what company she works for and how, but some of the things that I was like, oh, I hope they're like not billing for this time that they're paying for you to
not provide services.
Not provide services. And I hope that in whatever state that this person is in, that they are providing the correct like split shift, like compensation or whatever they have to do for like the 2-hour break in the middle of the day.
Right.
Yeah. But that's part, that's a very realistic schedule for an RVT.
Yeah. Those pickled eggs. I'm going to pass on that. All right. What do you think about that hourly rate?
Yeah. I mean, depending on where she is, it's pretty decent. I mean, and this is like 1-minute snapshot of a day in the life of an RBT, but I was like, man, that's a pretty cushy job to be paid $30 an hour.
I want to be sitting there just watching stuff. I want to ask, are you a contractor?
Are you a contractor? Yeah. Oh, that's a good question.
Because that looks like a contractor right to me, but...
I want to know more about your day. Maybe I'll have to go follow your TikTok and learn more about what you do.
All right, next one. So this one is red flags of an ABA company.
I'm getting like a really tight pain in my neck. something about like seeing people, like I'm feeling like very confront, like versus reading stuff.
Yeah, no.
It's like the real person. And I'm like starting to feel like confrontational, and I just want to kind of like exit my way out of here and like pretend like none of this is happening.
Yeah. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't know how to keep your business clean. Mop it up now, that is getting hot. At the body shop. Doing
so- All right, so I'm just going to read this for everyone listening. No mileage reimbursement. It's not a legal requirement unless you're in states that legally require it. Lead RBT. No other RBTs be signing off any supervision.
So she has lead in quotes, like lead RBT.
Uh-huh.
No other RBT should be signing off any supervision, considered fraud. Like, I think maybe she's saying that, like, RBT shouldn't, even if they're a lead RBT, they shouldn't be signing off on supervision because that's a BCBA's job. Yeah. That's how I read that.
No cancellation pay. So, yeah, predictive scheduling may not be being followed here. No paid breaks. Again, that's a break policy. It's a federal thing, people. You got to pay for breaks.
4 hours.
No prior introduction with your CBA before starting a case. That's too bad. Anything less than $25 pay. So those are her red flags. So let's look at those again, those red flags.
I'd agree.
I just want to read them all again.
All of them at the same time.
So no mileage reimbursement. You know, this is one of the things that we talk about is mileage reimbursement is a great benefit that you can add when you're not able to add many other benefits like health insurance and 401k and things like this, because this is something that you can write off on your taxes. And it's something that then you can also write off as an employee of your own company. So mileage reimbursement is kind of a good benefit to add. Again, you need to follow your state law because you may be required to do that, like California. And then the other thing is you have to pay for drive time. So that would be another red flag I would put up here, is not being paid for drive time or not being paid for required trainings. I don't understand this. Lead RBT, no other RBT should be signing off any supervision.
Yeah, I'd be curious
and
like.
And it's okay. no another RBT. I like RBT shouldn't be signing off on any supervision. I don't understand this.
Right, even if you're a lead RBT, because I'm assuming you're like going, you're working on your hours to be a BCBA. Yeah. Like it does. Like if you're built like the supervising BCBA who is the one doing like the billing, right, should be the one or the one who's on the. Mm-hmm. On the form, like, and should be the one, yeah.
No cancellation pays. Again, like, this is predictive scheduling. And then no paid breaks. Again, you need to follow your state law. Some states don't have required breaks. And you know what? Some RBTs love having their day sandwiched together. So it's they aren't like the previous person, right, where they have that 2-hour gap in the middle of the day and they have to work until 7.
At least a 30-minute lunch break to eat.
I get that, and but she's talking about breaks, not at lunch. I don't know if she means both breaks and lunch. I'm just saying,
or 15 minutes to pee.
Yeah. No prior introduction with your BCBA before starting the case. I'm gonna push back on this too, because what does that mean? Where did starting the case is very, like, I need a definition.
I'm assuming she means she's going meeting the BCBA the and the client at the same time.
Yeah, and maybe she is, but I just like clarity on that.
But yes, I would think at minimum, sometimes things happen where you can't, like, you're just trying to get the case started and the scheduling just works out. But at minimum, like a phone call from the, or a face call, right?
And like we typically did, like,
we did like a whole
competency
protocol.
Checks of the programs that they were working on and BSP training and stuff, right?
Yeah, when we could, there are some times, but at least like they would meet their BCBA if they didn't already know the BCBA ahead of time.
And then anything less than 25, I mean,
that depends on where you live.
Depends on where you live, and like I get that you deserve more than that. I do truly believe that, but when the rates are so low, then it really makes it difficult to be able to provide that kind of.
Yeah, that's something that I thought about bringing up multiple times in some of the past two videos that we did, and I did bring it up and I just don't remember, but that's some of it too, is like the rate negotiation, like the rates really limit what companies are able to
do. for sure. All right, so I'm just gonna go and grab them in order so that I don't even have to think about this anymore. Employee reviews at ABA companies backed by private equity be like.
Troy, how's it going? My name is Brad. As you know, I only called you here today due to our company policy. Here at the Center for Behavioral Dynamics, we give out employees a 90-day review. Otherwise, we wouldn't really talk much, me and you. However, when I looked at the numbers before this review, I was delighted. Troy, you are the epitome of what it means to be an ABA therapist here at this company. Over the past 90 days, you have worked with over 75 different clients, drove over 6,000 miles in your car, and averaged a productivity of 50 direct ABA therapy hours per week. Mr. Troy, I want to thank you for all this hard work, because we here at the Center for Behavioral Dynamics have been appalled at the efforts other therapists are putting in. They complain about working 45-hour weeks, working early mornings, late nights, but no, not you, Troy. You have been a dog for this company, and due to that, we are going to reward you for this miraculous productivity. Because of your hard work, we are going to give you 25 new clients, 10 more hours of direct billables per week, and last, the best part, for the first time in company history, we are offering a grand thank you of $5 to Amazon to help you cover half the shipping on your next order. Again, Troy, keep up the hard work. Because of people like you, I get to be off early to go watch the Cowboys game with Chad. Again, I'll see you next year for your annual review.
Ongoing conversations and reviews with your staff. Know your staff.
Yeah.
Or at least have policies where people are going to know your staff. It was very funny.
It's sad but true.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm very busy.
Well, I'm sure you are.
I don't like your tone.
I'm sure you are.
So this one says POV. In an interview, you inquire as to why the company does not offer more than the standard 40-hour RBT training for RBTs, and they tell you they're working on it. And then I guess we're going to hear some sound.
I'm very busy.
Well, I'm sure you are.
I don't like your tone.
I'm sure you are.
That's funny. It's funny. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Again, if they're not willing to go above and beyond 40 hours of training, I'm sure that you can find somewhere else to go that can help, right, onboard you a little bit better.
Walk away, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Next one.
So, I'm an RBT, and I am leaving ABA. I just resigned from my final big ABA company, and it was an incredibly hard decision. Because I love these kids, I love what I do, but I can't continue to be complicit in how these ABA companies are running ABA. I stayed for as long as I did because I sometimes felt like I was the only one advocating for these kids' best interests, and I naively believed that I could fight for change from within, but I finally had to accept that the system is too big and too broken for me to have any positive impact from within it. And that at this point, I'm probably just doing more harm than good. And I can't continue to do that. Now, I will accept my own mistreatment far longer than I can accept the mistreatment of someone else, especially a young child who cannot advocate for themselves. And I just can't be a part of this. I will miss my kids so much. I wish the best for every single one of them, and I hope they continue to grow and succeed and that they get where they need to be. And I wish I could have done more for them. I hope that leaving's enough, but I know it probably isn't, and I will grieve that for a long time.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
I appreciate that you were able to stop.
Yeah. I'm assuming that it doesn't sound like she's like one of, she doesn't sound like she's like knocking the ABA field. It sounds like it's the experiences that were going on within her like job.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you'd ever listen to this podcast, but if you reach out, I will find you a good place to work for. I'm sure that I can. And so, you know, if more people do what you're doing, say that you will not do this anymore, that you cannot do harm and you feel as though you're doing harm, it has to stop.
Yeah.
And when more people stop doing that, stop working for these companies that are doing unethical things, I think that it's going to help us all. Yeah.
So,
all right, we got two more.
You're making us pay for grapes, apples, things that God gave us for free. Ha! You will burn in hell when I'm through with you.
All right, so this one says, POV, when you're on an RBT salary and barely making it.
Broke RBTs.
You're making us pay for grapes, apples, things that God gave us for free. Ha! You will burn in hell when I'm through with you.
I mean, is that not all of us buying groceries today in 2024? Right. Ugh. All right, let's see the last one.
All right, last one.
I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put the blame on me.
So this one says, when I ask ABA companies why they keep hiring RBTs if there's not enough clients available, ABA companies.
I'm only human after all. I'm only human.
And there you have it. Don't put the blame on me. So I think that, you know, that's a perfect ending. Like, someone has to be responsible. And if your company is not being accountable, is not being responsible, is not being ethical, then you have to say, I will no longer do harm. And you have to stop. Right. And hopefully with enough people doing this and finding different companies to work for, you know, we built a website, and this is not to just go on and make an account. Look at the questions that we ask. companies to answer. So, and take those questions and then go to your interview and ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Because if they're not answering those, to the degree that you would like them to, then maybe this isn't the company for you. Right. And so, our goal is to create ethical, sustainable practices. And we've seen enough really good ABA practices out there doing the good work. We know it can be done. It's just a matter of you all holding them accountable, and because no one's going to hold them accountable if you're not holding them accountable. So, yeah, they're only human. And so you're going to have to hold them to account, right? I think that out of all of this that we've done, that's my new shift. That's my new perspective, is that there just has to be more responsibility. And unfortunately, it's going to have to go to the RVT and the BAs that are providing the direct services. They have to stand up for themselves and the people that they work for. So that was all the reaction videos, I think. For now, at least. And then we're going to take all of what we have read and learned, and there's some more that we still have to research and review. And now we're going to make some, like, how do we change this, right?
Mm-hmm. And
the course that we hope to provide shortly is, okay, what are these red flag rules, right? That every RBT and every BA, they have to know before they start. And we're going to try and get these out, you know, as cheaply, probably, like, I'm down with free at this point, where everyone can review them and go to their next interview with the knowledge that they need to know, am I picking the right company or am I not? So, because no, it doesn't matter if they're accredited. It doesn't matter if mm-hmm. they're a PE owned. It doesn't matter if it's a small BCBA company. They can all be good and they can all be bad. And so it's your responsibility when you go into that interview. Don't let them take advantage of you, right? Like, if you learn nothing from, don't let them take advantage of the kids, right? And so this is on you, whether you want to be or not. If you go into this field, I'm sorry. It's on you. And so you have to play your part, and that is responsibility.
We'll help. Yeah. We'll help. We're going to come up with strategies and trainings, yes. And, I don't know, maybe even a spinoff RBT podcast.
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Yeah. Really, seriously. Like, this is something that we've been trying to get together as an RBT panel. It's been very difficult. And so we need your voices. We need to hear from you, not us, right?
Like, what professionals could we bring on? Yes, what topics can we cover? We know a few.
Yes.
We know a few, and we'll start there.
Yep.
But
yeah, we want, like, I think that there would, it's a different, it's coming from a different perspective if you all come on and advocate rather than us. And while we do have some sway and maybe we can change some minds, I think coming from you all, it would be better. And that's why we did this, because we couldn't get a panel together. So we did this instead, and we will continue to advocate for this and try to push the field better, hopefully. And, you know, like I said in the last video, maybe we got the wrong idea here. And so we want to hear, we want comments, we want feedback, so that we can learn and grow as well.
And thank you for all of the hard work
that
you as tech,
it's so behavior meaningful.
Techs and behavior analysts,
so
thank
important.
You for all of the hard work that you do.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.